Positive Radio.
Pre-roll time. The Cheers to Comics podcast is brought to you by Inked Marketing, and the Inked Marketing crowdfunded comic for this here episode is going to be Alpha Dogs. This is a Road Dog approved ad. Road Dog's my dog, Rhodey. He's a pit bull. This book is about pit bulls. It is about the misunderstanding of pit bulls. It is badass. It is badass. I just backed. I don't know what to say about this book. They say it's an incredible journey meets Lost. Come on. I don't know what Lost is. I never watched Lost, but an incredible journey. I mean, this is nostalgia hitting my heart hard on that one. So Alpha Dogs, if you're a dog lover, if you're a pit bull owner, this is a book you are not going to want to miss out on. It has my money. There's still time left to back this book. Let's make it a thing. Done by John Dexter and Fernando Melick, along with Ezekiel Dominguez. So once again, the book is Alpha Dogs. It's on Kickstarter. Go to Kickstarter.com and just search Alpha Dogs. It's going to be right there in your face. Once again, brought to you, proudly brought to you, by Inked Marketing. Oh, well, hello again, and welcome back to the Cheers to Comics podcast. This is episode 299. I like to know how many of these Creator Corners I've done by now. Yep, you guessed it. This episode of the Cheers to Comics podcast will be a Creator Corner. I will have the pleasure of talking to another dynamic duo, another amazing power couple in comics, Emily McGinnis and Dan Bridges. They are doing a book called The Zombie Game. And I tell you what, you know, I was into this book before I even, you know, had talked to Emily and Dan. Emily was the one to reach out to me. I kind of seen Emily's work in the Facebook groups and stuff like that, shouting it out. And then when she asked to come on, I was like, for shout. And then I found out that Dan Bridges is coming on with her, and that's always exciting. It's nice having a couple on the same camera, you know. It makes interviewing much easier. But more than anything, I like seeing my creators together is what it comes down to. I'm not saying all creators need to go out there and date other creators. It's just fun seeing this happen. So I can't wait for you to listen to their story about their story. About their story. How's that? So, without further ado, I'm not going to hold you up anymore. I am so excited to bring to you the duo behind The Zombie Game, or at least two people behind The Zombie Game, Emily McGinnis and Dan Bridges. We have Emily McGinnis and Dan Bridges. How are you two? Look at this power couple on the same screen. Oh, I love it.
Keep calling us a power couple. I have no idea. It's like, how did we? This is awesome. Somehow we came up.
Only because we haven't killed each other yet.
I think that's really the only stipulation. If you two are together still after 5 minutes, boom, you made it. you're here with the purpose, no doubt about it. You're here to talk The Zombie Game, this incredible looking graphic novel, right? I mean, this isn't the single issue. This is a big old thick book.
Yes,
that, correct. Thickness as we could cram in.
I tell you what, and for the price point on this too, I'm pretty impressed. A lot of times I have to pay this much to get a single issue with something. So,
We were trying.
I could see it's the efforts are paying off, and we're going to get into all of that. We are going to get into The Zombie Game, no doubt about it. But first, I have to know about the people that make the things I love, the creators, and that would be you two. I have you cornered here, and we got to know about some origin stories, man. One of my favorite things is to hear about how. Whoever wants to start, let's start with when. I mean, when did comics become a thing in your life? You know, not necessarily creating, obviously, but, you know, just something that you consumed.
Yeah, absolutely. So I fell into it backwards, and it is all my college's fault. I originally went to school for animation, and the year I got there, they said 2D animation is dead. Like, we're going to close the program.
My heart.
I was like, oh my God, this is literally like what I came to this college to do. So I want to draw and I want to tell stories. And so they had this very fancy program called Sequential Art. Right. Which was the way to con parents into paying for sending your kid to art school for comic books. And I fell in love with the medium, and I had kind of like read a few things here and there, because I grew up on Batman, the animated series. So yeah. I had like read some of those comic books as well. But once I was a late bloomer, I guess, into comics. But once I got into that program, it was the only thing for me. Like, I could do a whole project by myself. Like, I could finish something. Like, I loved the medium. I loved how it was like a film, but even better, because you could do whatever you want. You could have any perspective you wanted.
But the budget's the same no matter what the shot is.
That's
awesome. You know, and I admire a late bloomer, because I was kind of a late bloomer myself in a way. Like, I've admired it my whole life, but I didn't decide this is what it's going to be until way late.
Yeah.
So I definitely admire someone like yourself. And you said you were reading Batman the animated series and things like that. Did you find yourself, you know, popping into comic book shops to see what was going on? Or, I mean, how were you really consuming this and getting inspired further once you realized it was comics and not animation?
We had like a great comic shop in Savannah. And it was awesome to like support them. So I feel like Batman was like my gateway drug, you know, like once I started like reading the initial stuff, like the comics they based off that animated series, then I was like, wait, there's a whole other Batman world. And going to like those comic shops, and doing conventions like throughout my whole time in college, it was like a flood of information. So probably between like our comic book shop and like doing conventions, that was how I like consumed and found new artists and like really made friends on the circuit and like just saw what cool indie people were doing too. You know, once you move past like Marvel and DC, you're like, oh my God, you can do anything with these stories. Like, And so many people do. So many indie creators do.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. Totally. What about you, Dan? I mean, when did this start for you?
Kind of another late bloomer. So like when I grew up, where I was, especially in like into high school, there wasn't even a comic book shop. I grew up in a small town called Lake Arrowhead, California, and you end up having to like drive like 20 miles to get down to San Bernardino, which is like not the most interesting place in the world. But I joined the army, and I went to I was stationed in Panama, and right by the place, the barber, which I had to get my hair cut basically every week because I was such an ass that I just didn't want to get my hairs buzzed. I just wanted it to be regulation. So I kept having to go get a haircut every week because my sergeant was pissed at me. Right next door, there was this little shop and they had comic books. And I just started reading them. And most of the guys in the army at the time were into comics. And, you know, they introduced me to different people and, you know, different, you know, characters and stuff. And I got really into X-Men and really into Wolverine. And then it just kind of went from there. And I read, so that was at the same time that the Infinity Gauntlet series came out. So like I had to find every book in this little place. Mm-hmm. And I had to order everything. And I was just like going crazy. And then when I got back, it was really weird because, you know, the boom kind of happened and everybody was selling their comic books and making a lot of money. And then everybody was like, all right, we're going to do everything number one and Image number one. And I went to my local comic book shop. There was a couple in town. I was going to school and then they all closed because I guess everything just went, you know, it just did not work out. So, yeah. So it's been, then it was just like trying to find it again. But that was, I started off in the Army.
Wow, man. I think that's probably a first that I've heard that one. You know, that's why I love these origin stories, man. You never know what that, I mean, how you're going to fall in love with this. You never know what's going to lead you to that, you know, that first book on the shelf that you pull off. And getting into X-Men while you're in the Army and all that stuff. I mean, it's so cool, man. I love it. I love it. So let's talk about some artistic backgrounds a little bit. I mean, Emily, you went to school to become, you know, an animator. So obviously drawing was your thing. How long into drawing were you before you realized this is what I want to, you know, to turn into a career?
It's been a super long, winding career path for me. And I think really in high school for me, I had like a really amazing high school art teacher that
she drew this like zombie adventure. She drew the whole thing, did the whole book, the whole thing. She did it all. I'm sorry. I had to
fun. That's so awesome. I love it. I love it.
I had like a really awesome high school art teacher who really encouraged like drawing skills, and my mom was also like super encouraging, because in high school I was kind of like good at everything. That sounds obnoxious, but
no, I understand.
Yeah, I was good. I wasn't like especially good at one thing, maybe we'll put it that way. So
okay.
So I got the chance to explore and just figure out, you know, like what I wanted to go to college for. And I took those art classes, and my art teacher was just so encouraging. She had this amazing house that she and her husband like built herself, and she would bring like high school kids to her house, and it had like secret doors and like all sort of cool stuff. And like it just, like seeing that level of creativity, that you could live with that level of creativity, like just inspired me really for like the rest of my life.
I love that. I love hearing that, you know, it came from an art teacher, because I'm somebody that, I don't mean to turn this and make this about me, but it's more about, you know, just realizing the importance of art teachers. I wanted to be an artist my entire life. And then I hit art class in high school, and I had an art teacher that could give a shit less about anybody. I didn't learn anything. They said, well, here's some paint, and then do that thing, and if you're good at it, I'll give you a good grade, and if you're bad, then you'll just pass. But that wouldn't. So I gave it up completely. And yeah. I mean, until years and years later, you know, I had reasons and inspirations to want to get into it again, but having a good art teacher, I value that so much. I envy that more than anything. It's good to hear. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, I agree with you. It's so important to like encourage kids to just try stuff, especially when you're young. You can try stuff, you can do whatever you want. Like the kind of the axiom is true, like you can be whatever you want to a certain degree when you're that young and like flexible. So encouraging people is super
bendy
and bendy. Yeah.
and you could bounce when you fall. It doesn't happen when you're older. It's much tougher.
For sure. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Especially after 2020.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Dan, what about you, man? When did you realize that you wanted to create?
So as opposed to my wife, was not good at anything in high school. I had this moniker that a friend of mine had to draw for me. It was called an artist without a talent. And I kind of had this moniker, like I couldn't draw, I couldn't paint, I couldn't make pottery, couldn't do any of this stuff. But I had this, like, I was sad. And so I wanted to find some outlet and some creativity, but I never really had a good teacher or anything like that. And you can see my drawing ability at the end of the book, where the evolution of a page comes from and how I draw. It's really good. No.
However, this is why he is designated writer and a fantastic one.
Well, and I got into acting. Because I always wanted to do that when I was younger, and I started doing theater and stuff. And
when did you realize that you wanted to act? Because usually there's a moment, you know, or a string of moments that lead to that, or as an inspiration.
Well, it was really more along the lines of I'd always really wanted to do it, like even in high school, and I didn't have a good teacher. And I was just kind of going through my life in a very, you know, not exciting way. And I just kind of decided that I needed to do something different. And it was something I always wanted to try. And so I just decided to audition. And if I got anything, no matter what, I was going to just take it. Instead of like, you know, I want to be this or that. And
right.
And then I started to, I got a couple of things, and I was having fun, and I got Tony and Tina's Wedding, which is dinner theater improv kind of a thing. And then I went to, American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco and in their professional program. And I was doing like fencing and, you know, clown work and just like,
you know,
a lot of physical activity. And I've always been kind of a physical guy, so I was doing physical comedy, and I just loved it. And then after you start reading so many plays and reading so many scripts and whatnot, you just start wanting to write for yourself, because I want to star in things. And then you actually have to learn how to write, and then you have to write for the story. And so then I started actually getting good at writing, and that was kind of how that all evolved. And she's the one, I wrote this as a script, and she kind of came in and was like, this would be an absolutely amazing graphic novel. And she redid, she like, we had to format it completely, do everything different, you know, reformulate the story, because it wasn't really, I didn't quite understand how the panels worked and how limited.
How could you, man? I mean,
I had no idea. Right. I had no idea. It was crazy. And she was like, no, you got to do this. And it became this, and it's pretty,
We made a good team.
Yeah.
And we figured out how to work together creatively.
When did the chocolate find the peanut butter? I mean, like, how did this work out? I mean, did you guys know each other while you're writing this, or did you have this and then found each other and realized, holy shit, how did this work out?
Well, sure, but so on our first date, we actually debated who should be cast as Wonder Woman in our third date.
See that right there. That's how you know. That's how you know. We're talking about these things.
Second date was a comic book convention in LA.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kamikaze. Yeah. So we were, which has been changed to like, I think LA Comic Convention now. Yeah. But I knew anyone who makes the effort to actually like get to a comic convention in LA where you cannot find parking.
I know. I was like driving. I was like, God, I just.
So our comics journey started early in our relationship. Yeah. And then unfortunately we married each other.
Well, and we're really not good at like creating together.
No.
At all.
We like don't
our processes are completely different.
Okay, so you have to separate yourselves,
yes,
and then turn the work into each other, like normal creators do.
Yeah, like she's amazing. Like I do certain things much better than her, and vice versa. And she So if I'm, we have to define things, you know, specifically and just be like, all right, you're writing this and I'll edit, you're doing this and I'll, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And we have to be, because when we tried to start a story from square one together, it was an abject, you know, failure. Yeah. It was,
what was the name of that book?
Crap upon fart, you know, it was just like, it was a shark all together. It was
like, non-starter.
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere.
He's over there mumbling in the corner. I'm over here with like my lists and my like flow chart, and he's like, what the hell are you doing?
You don't even have a story yet. How are you gonna do this?
He's like, I'm doing my thing.
So like we just had to like stop and be like, no, yeah, that's not how it's gonna work. Because
and so this story in particular for the zombie game, you know, came from Dan's heart. Because it is a veteran story at its core. And so he's the one who generated the story, you know, generated the heart. And like, we worked together, like you said, to adapt it and format it and, you know, make it worthy of being a comic and that type of thing, making sure that like the medium was stretched to the limit with our, with the core, the same heart and the same like veteran story embedded into it, so it ended up a good marriage.
You know, I was I really didn't want it. So there's a couple of things. Is I really didn't want to do a PTSD story. You know, because everybody does. It's like, you know, I was at this SAG thing with a bunch of writers, and my buddy is I was not in Iraq or Afghanistan, so I just thought I want to be upfront about that. But my buddy was, and he was just like, why is all your veteran characters just PTSD'd out, and that's the only story that you can tell? And the writers were like, because that's what interests us, and if you don't like it, write something. And I kind of thought about it a lot, because there are a lot of good parts about being a vet and a lot of bad parts too, but I wanted to use that, because the one thing about a vet is that they, the guise of what society is, you know, they know that it's false, and so, and that at any moment that veil could drop and things could get real, right? And so I wanted to use that as a positive instead of a negative. So instead of everybody running around going, I can't believe that this is happening, you know, a vet's just like, this is what's happening right now. So I'll deal with it later. And so he can charge forward and deal with that stuff. And that's, and then I wanted to use that. And then I wanted to also like bring in other characters. And then it was the genre, and then how I got to that. But yeah, it was something that was really important to me to have like, you know, that character, and not just, you know, a born identity, you know, I'm just going to go kick everybody's ass always. You know, I'm just that, you know, I'm, you know, Navy SEAL guy. And it's more, he's trying to adjust back into society, and then society decides that he is now going to be playing this game.
Yeah. Nothing like being a freshman in college at 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Man. And then I mean, we throw in the you know, the premise of zombies mixed into all of this, and so we got this whole horror aspect on top of, you know, real life horrors that people face all the time, and then we throw in this fantastical feat on top of it all, and it's just this this conglomerate of madness, man. I mean, it really is almost disturbing as it is to say, all of this despair looks like a lot of fucking fun. it really does. It looks like a fun read.
Thank you very much. It was the zombie aspect is, you know, thematical is just that, you know, it's zombies are, I like the idea of zombies a lot.
But it's tough to tell
a new zombie story.
Yeah, a lot has been retread so in much. The horror.
They can't even come up with an original title anymore. Everything is Night of the Living or the I mean, I understand it is, and it's hard. It's really easy to have a zombie story drowned out. That's why I think it's brilliant to throw in this veteran aspect as well. I think that's gonna really help, bring it forward in such a, like a sea of zombie stories. I think it's gonna help it so much.
Thanks. Yeah. And the other thing is that it's localized, and that was something that kind of, like, I had to think about to even go into zombies. I had to think about it in a different way because everything had been done, or at least I'm not smart enough to figure out something new. So I was like, all right, how do I tweak that? How do I look at this? And can I localize it? Can I do something specific?
It's not a pandemic.
It's somebody's doing this. It's a game master. It's like Saw. And then there's like puzzles. And I was like, wait a minute, now I can create these zombies as opposed to they are, they're
a virus
or a comet. So now it's like I can change them throughout the game, and there's different levels, and it's like, oh, now I got this whole thing. And now people, because the one thing in zombie movies is as soon as you know their fatal flaw, you know how to beat them.
That's really it. I like that you point that out. I don't know if I ever really thought about it like that way, but that's a quick way to ruin your zombie story is to, just give them the key in the very beginning,
Right.
I like that. And here you are saying you're not smart enough to come up with something. That's fucking brilliant, man. I love that. That's a great idea. So then you throw in the aspect of the attraction of video games, like in the biggest video game culture in the world.
Yeah.
This has a lot of success written all over it.
Thank you.
I love this. So Emma, are you helping illustrate this? You're co-writing this?
Co-write, and I get to do a fun companion coloring book.
Yes.
One of the best character, we all think, in the graphic novel is Leg, who is our main character's service dog. And he is based off our real life Leg.
Who is asleep
behind us. He lives his best life every day.
Yeah.
I wrote and drew the companion coloring book, which is actually a mirror story of the graphic novel. So it's the same story told from Leg's perspective. So this fun little coloring adventure, but I found Pablo. I get to be master wizard on this project. I get to whip everyone in shape, make sure we were on schedule.
She also formatted the book too. I mean,
so you're playing editor as well on top of all of this. Oh, the admiration I have for you.
Yes.
That's tough. It is.
I just sat over. I was like this. She's over here. I don't know. She's like, does this look? I said, I don't know.
Do this now.
Write this copy, mister.
that's so awesome. I can't not talk about the art in this book. This art is absolutely just, it's stunning. It really is. I don't have a lot of words for it because I haven't seen much like this in a comic book. So please tell me, how did you find this person? How did, what happened?
Yeah.
I mean, we just got so lucky because.
Start from the beginning. Yeah. I mean, at first we didn't have this at all in mind. We had like a black and white, pencil sketch. We had somebody else in mind.
Maybe it was like Kirkman type we did black and white, or like, a super gritty, style where we could exploit kind of like the texture zombies and stuff. It was a whole plan.
Yeah.
We were like, okay, here we go.
We were on a different road altogether. And, the person that we had kind of settled on, decided not to, it was not to do it, or it was too expensive, or whatever had happened. So she was looking for other artists. And all of a sudden we got Pablo's art, and it was completely different than anything else we saw. And so atmospheric, and his like color palette. And we were like, this is amazing. can he do action and zombies and stuff? I don't know. Because it was really just, it was this Victorian, like.
Yeah. He looks like a fine artist is what he does.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like a Jason Sean Alexander type of just, yeah, and no, that's what I get from this, is that level of just brilliance.
Yeah, he can paint with light. And we were like, look, if you can actually, we had him do a test page, and the test page was the combination of like things we wanted to see. It was a part in the book where things are on fire and there's like an action scene and kind of like zombies in the background. So we wanted to make sure that, like, because a lot of artists are good at like, I'm like in that fine art vein, you know, like people standing still, great. People actually like moving and doing something
while conveying emotion and, you know, I mean, trying to visualize sound at the same time, because you got a horror series, you got a horror book here, and you don't have sound on your side to create a fear factor. So, I mean, it's so on the artist to be able to do that. So, yeah, you have to test these people. You do.
Yeah. And he nailed it.
Yeah.
And we were, and I just looked at, we were just kind of looking at each other. It's like, this is not anything that we thought it was going to look like, and everything that we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And so this is a couple of times where, like, as a, you know, I tell the story of like, when Morgan Freeman got the role of Red in Shawshank Redemption, the character was supposed to be Irish, and that whole line of him, like, he's like, I'm, because I'm Irish. That was a joke, because he's not supposed to be African or black. Right. He's supposed to be an Irishman. And so, but he came in and just did such a great job. They just went, okay, and let him do his thing. And so that was kind of the thing where I, as like, you know, like people, we just kind of stepped back and let him go.
Yeah.
We had to rein him in a few times and stuff like that. But his ability to like set a shot and angles and perspective, and you're just like, wow, it's not anything I thought it was going to be, but damn,
page layout, good and God, fisheye lenses, and he, I mean, he was willing to try anything, and he is the full package. He knows perspective, he knows anatomy, like he is able to do interesting layouts, use the gutters to their full advantage. I mean, there's no reason, don't take him from us, but there's no reason like he should not blow up like all over the place just because he's the full package.
It's just a matter of time here, because I mean, he could do anything from, you know, a dim pastel type of rooms to, I'm looking at some of these interiors on here, I mean, it's so bright and vibrant, and I mean, his palette is I mean, it's tamed, but at the same time, it's so, I mean, he has 50 of them, you know, I mean, he's got so much going on here. It's in the best way.
Yeah.
My favorite, one of my favorite panels is like the wide shot of when they're in the farm, at the farm, and it's on top, and they're in the barn, and it's just like looking down upon them. And I was like, where did he cut? Why did he do it this way? Never mind. It was awesome. I was just like, God, that's just such a beautiful shot.
And he has worked on a couple things for Boom Studios. So hopefully, you know, our little book can help him grow into to great things, because we were lucky enough that like we got to go into like the high res. You can like zoom into this stuff and you start seeing like fingerprints and like individual blood spatter he added and stuff like that. It's like, and we hid so many Easter eggs in the book. And there's a full list of them at the end of the book, but like it was a joy to do that with him, because he was so clever with like adding them in, and you know, it was just like a fun part of the art as well.
It really is something to look at. There's no doubt about it. So when you get an artist that does something that you don't quite expect, how much does that kind of, Does it change the way you start doing things when they start kind of perceiving things different from your vision? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's kind of like a, you know, it's a dance, right? Right. And I think as collaborators, because I think you could tell them what to draw and you can tell them what to do, but I always feel, because I came from a theater background of kind of adjusting and working with people's strengths, right? So if you're really good at this or that, let's work on that and I can fill in. And so we, you know, if he did something, we had to rewrite things and we'd have to move things around and adjust in that way. And he'd have to adjust to us on occasion where it's like, no, that's just not what we want, because, you know, of other reasons.
Yeah, but it still had to fit the story. Yeah. It was a push and pull. Like, we maintained the integrity of the intent of the story in that, like, this is important because it's a plot point.
Yeah.
Like, when you go, because there is a big twist at the end. And so it was important that we, you know, leave visual clues for that as well. So we really did think about how you visually look at the story points
too. Yeah. And so we're, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, you always need like a director, but you also need somebody like in charge, but you also need somebody in there. And if you're going to hire somebody with a voice, if you're going to hire Nicolas Cage, you're hiring Nicolas Cage.
Right. You're getting bees.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You're not going to be like, all right, I want something subtle. I want something tamed. It's like, dude, I'm Nicolas Cage. You bought me. So fuck it. I'm going crazy. And so when
jiu-jitsu. It's like, oh. that movie is insane.
Yeah, my God. But you have to, you just literally have to like let them do their thing.
Right.
And so we had to make that decision in the beginning. And then you can, you know, it's like it you know, it's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's I love hearing that, knowing that, you know, because it's got to be fun knowing that somebody sees your art and then art is, you know, it's based on, you know, it's what you perceive it to be. You know, you could draw a flower, but if someone sees a sun with a brown thing in it, then, you know, that's what they see. That's so to put out this piece of art and then somebody immediately kind of critique it in their own way by, you know, doing it and, you know, visually, it's got to be fun. It's got to be really, really fun to witness and see. But I mean, you guys are at that point, you're creating the art together, obviously. Right. But I don't know.
That's the best part about comics.
Yeah.
Is that, like, you can have a shared vision that is like a visual medium, and like you can work together to do really awesome things that you can't do in other mediums. So hopefully, you know, that our book deserves to be a comic. Like it uses being a comic to its full advantage.
I love it. I love it. Let's talk a little bit more about the horror here. I'm a big fan of horror comics. I love to know where horror aspirations come from, because there's a million different types of horror out there. So is horror something you guys both have always been into, or is that just, tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we're such huge consumers of pop culture in general that, like, I think no genre goes unturned, but there's a special place for horror because it really delves into your fears and like what we are all afraid of and why we're afraid of those things. And it's such a heightened human experience that it naturally lends itself to drama. So, you know, we love all the classics, like everything from like Nosferatu back in the 20s.
Gotcha.
You know, all the way through like
Exorcist and stuff like
that. Train to Busan. Yeah. I mean, all the recent stuff as well. Like we were just going through Sweet Home on Netflix, which is like a Korean import. And there's just something about telling those stories that's special.
Yeah, I have a really hard time with not watching it, but writing it, like spirits and whatnot. And I have a huge affinity for that done well, and like monsters and things. Like for me, it's something that I don't necessarily have. Like it's not something that I do well, so I really respect it a lot. And that's one of the things about this, is that my stuff always has to be a little bit more based in, you know, not so much the occult, because there's this aspect of I want to say disbelief, but like I don't make those logical leaps so quickly, but I'm so amazed at people that can do that and are able to make that work. Like The Exorcist is one of the absolutely most like horrifying things I have ever seen in my entire life. And it scares the living crap out of me anytime I watch it. And so, you know, and with horror, you also hit these, you know, super, like she was saying, themes about humanity and our fear of death and these things. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, it gets us in touch. It's kind of like a roller coaster, right? It gets us in touch with like who we are as a species, as a living and fragile thing, as opposed to this thinking being. We are a physical being,
and yeah, that's what we're going to see more of the primal side of the way we work. And it's not very often that, you know, humanity actually gets to witness that. Not very often we're put into that state, you know.
And that's why I put the veteran in that state, because he has already had that experience. And so those were the things that brought that together. And that's why, you know, anyway.
We really loved for our book, and love in general, like having that grounding in reality, because there's something about showing horror that could actually happen to you is even more terrifying. Yeah. So that's why we wanted our, like, this is a person creating this game in our book. Yeah. Like, this is a human who is perpetrating this upon other people. And like, the zombies are almost incidental. Like, zombies are just going to be there to like do whatever they do. But the real horror are the people playing the game and the person running it.
Yeah. That's what I, you know, it's, you know, there's this funny saying, it's like a tiger goes tiger, but a person goes crazy. Like the most evil thing something can, you know, a human is evil. A spirit is just a spirit doing what a spirit does. And so, you know, we watch a lot of that kind of stuff, and, you know, how this plays out. This, one of my other favorite movies is Saw.
Yeah.
And also I have to plug 30 Days a Night. That graphic novel is absolutely insane.
And one of the few films that actually got converted pretty well from the graphic novel. Like you feel that, like, terror.
And to bring like actual like monsters back was really exciting. Mm. Like monsters that you're scared of, and monsters. And so like, but you know, monsters are, they do their thing. You know, a tiger goes tiger, a human goes crazy. And I wanted to have that aspect, because there's this, you know, there's this aspect of society that, you know, that feels like they can do these things to other people, and they get away with it, and they can. And so what is that, the next logical leap of, you know, it's like, I can do this to different people. I can, I can do this to, and then it's like, well,
the dangers of entitlement, man. The dangers. Yeah. What a concept to play around with. That's insane. I love it. I love it. Your first comic, you say? <I'm not> believing- I love this, man. This sounds like a winner. I've found myself kind of diving back onto the zombie world. So I'm not somebody that pushes because there's too much zombie stuff. I don't even know if that's the case now. And there's not a lot of zombie stuff coming out now. So I think this is a perfect time to release something, but to have all of these other layers behind it, you know, you have a hit on your hands. I really do believe it. I think if anything, zombie fatigue isn't so much a thing anymore. I think people are kind of craving it again. You know, I mean, the Walking Dead's not a thing anymore. I mean, I don't have any other zombie books that I'm reading, not that I could think of off the top of my head. And if I don't remember it off the top of my head, then I mean, this is amazing. So as of right now, as we record this, we're just a couple days into the Kickstarter, and you guys are already halfway funded.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Do we want to let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter and, you know, the campaign here and what we can expect out of this? I mean, do we have stretch goals lined up? What do we?
Of course,
of course. Oh, of course. Look at that. Of
nothing
course.
To do with me.
No,
I mean
no.
Nothing. It's all her. She's in charge of everything. I just sit here and say funny things.
I'm so. Like, right, monkey. Yeah, absolutely. Our Kickstarter is live. We had an amazing first couple days. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who has already backed. It just means we have great fans and friends already. You can find us on Kickstarter at The Zombie Game. And we were already able to release our first secret tier because we funded so quickly in the first day.
But don't worry, we can always use more. Don't think that the funding stops there.
It does not stop. We have not hit our goal yet, but we might have a few more secret tiers to go once we reach a few more goals. And we have a couple early bird specials for you, a Nicolas Cage coloring page.
I always love the Nick Cage.
That's right. And and of course our stretch goals, which might invite some participation from Leg. So you're gonna have to get us to our goals to find out what those stretch goals are. But yeah, lots of good things. We're not done yet. It looks like we have come out of the gate really strong, but we can't finish without you. So please, please, please let me release those secret tears to you. Let me get you the cool things we have coming up.
Like I you know, there's a lot of stuff. I'm just really excited that people get to see.
Yeah.
And get to read and enjoy.
You get the graphic novel, you get prints, you get the coloring book, you have a dead stinky animal ABC book. Pablo created even more art for us. Mm-hmm. We have our friend Jose Cabrera did an amazing classic Dracula print.
I'm looking at that print right now. That classic is a great word for it. It really is. Like, if you're a vintage horror fan, then this is the type of art that you're going to want. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful. I love it.
We were super disappointed that we don't get to go to cons right now.
Yeah.
So we made sure that you had like a full convention pack. It's just like you were at a table where we're just going to give you everything.
I love it. I love it. You guys aren't going to San Diego for Thanksgiving?
Oh, boo. Why? Why did you do this, San Diego? Why did you do it, Comic-Con?
I just heard that New York Comic-Con is officially live in October as of today. Oh. They just announced that. So there's hope. There's hope.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's coming back. It's just that, you know, we
got to get vaccinated.
Yep.
It's just we didn't want to wait and we really, you know, we wanted to get this going and out there, and you know, we're gonna hit the cons and we're gonna have tables and we're gonna do all that, but
You're gonna do it with them being able to have a physical copy for them for you to sign for them. And I think that's the cool thing. I think it's very wise to not halt at all or not stall on these campaigns. Yeah. I think now is the prime time to be launching this. I don't think you could ever. I don't know. I find no good reason to not launch a Kickstarter right now. You know, if you've got everything lined up, then do it. People are going to spend the money and people want Kickstarter books. That's a huge, huge thing now. There's so many successful major titles that have been Kickstarter projects. So,
yeah.
And the zombie game's going to be one more of them. I'm so confident. I'm so confident in this book. This art is incredible. The premise is just so layered and it's fun. That's what I want. I want to have fun. It seems like a lot of fun. So,
yeah. Thank you. And
a lot of cursing.
Right?
And a lot of cursing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
We're so lucky that like it's actually all finished.
Yeah.
So it's all done already. And like our Kickstarter is really just to get it into people's hands and to like get it printed. So
awesome. Oh, that's so cool. Thoughts on getting it under a publisher's name at some point in time after it's all out there?
Yeah, we're super open to working with the right publisher, you know, who wants to, you know, have us have this book and hopefully the rest in the series, knock on wood, come do great things. So yeah, definitely open to it. We just want to find the best partner and move forward with that.
That's so awesome. And you say the rest in the series. So there's more.
More
in here, but not on here. It's not on there yet. It's up here somewhere.
These backers.
That's why I sit over there and I mutter in the corner.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Oh man.
We had kind of started this out and then we were like, okay, we were like, all right, where do we go from here, and started the process. And
has to be a trilogy.
Has to be.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it. And once again, this isn't a single issue, listeners. This is a big old thick piece of reading. I mean, I'm
134 pages.
Man,
that's awesome. 134 pages. This is a joke that I do, you know, because she's like, I've been marketing it as 134 pages, and it has to be 134 pages.
So that she's don't like, make any more pages.
No pages. It was really funny. And then we were on another podcast, and I said it. And then there was another creator and his book was like 16. And then I just felt like an ass. I just felt like an asshole. And I was just like, man, and his book was really like powerful and everything. And I was just like, oh God, I'm just, you know, like, but it is 134 pages.
Hey man, no shame.
We worked really hard on all those pages.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Proud of those pages. Emily, Dan, I love seeing these creative couples. It's not the first time, and I hope it's not the last time. I feel like some of the best stuff that I'm excited for is coming from couples like yourselves. I love how you guys your creative aspect, the boundaries that you guys create, and the separations to know, you know, which lanes to stay in. It's
important. It's very important. You know.
Yeah. I can't imagine tiptoeing that boundary. I really couldn't. This is why I admire you people. I really do. And I'm so happy that you guys took the time to come on the show. And feel free to share out as much as you want in the Facebook group page. That's what that page is for. Is for creators like yourselves. So blast out this campaign as much as you want. You know, just give us daily updates. They want to know. We want to know. We want to know what's going on. We want to know when we're unlocking the next secret little whatever it may be. You legitimately have me excited. So Emily McGinnis, Dan Bridges, thank you so much for coming on.
It was awesome talking to you, man.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
We'll be talking soon. I have a feeling. I'm ready for that that volume too already.
Great. Get to work, monkey. Start typing. <right.
laughs> Well, you guys stay safe out there, and we'll be speaking again soon.
All right, buddy. Great. Thanks,
Thank
man.
You.
Cheers.
Hello, I am Christy.
And I'm Leighton.
And together we are a new podcast on whiskey tasting called
Married Mash, where we discuss life, family, and pretty much anything.
Yep, and Leighton brings a new whiskey for me to try. Will we clink it?
Or will we sink it?
Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And remember,
always drink responsibly.
Indeed.
Good morning. Brian Wayne here to tell you about my new podcast, The Real Brains. The Real Brains podcast is a show coming out daily, dedicated to the everyday struggle of just the average human being. From troubles with rage to anecdotes about very strange human interactions, this podcast really is just somebody that's all too familiar with the struggle. I'm here to let you know that you are not alone, so come laugh at our pain together every single weekday, every place you can catch a podcast. Check out The Real Brains with Brian Wayne. Remember, stay sane. Bam, there you go. $2.99 in the books. A couple more creators have been cornered. Mm-hmm. The book, The Zombie Game. The duo, Emily McGinnis and Dan Bridges. Be on the lookout for their names. You're going to be seeing a lot of them. This book is going to, it's going to take off. I have all of the confidence in this book. I really do. This is an awesome twist on zombies, and yeah, I love it. I love it so much. So remember, Kickstarter. I'll have all of the details in the show notes. It's in the show notes. So just, yeah, it's all right there. No excuses not to do it. Once again, Emily McGinnis, Dan Bridges. Ah, yes. Remember, rate the podcast. Rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts 5 stars. I only accept 5-star ratings. I think that's it. I think that's all I'm going to talk about right now. So thank you all again so much for tuning in. I've got so many more great interviews lined up to record on the, have been recorded already. So just stay tuned. And remember, check out CheersToComics.com too. It's a streamlined way of checking out all the new content, you know, whether it's YouTube videos or podcasts, one or the other. You can get it all at CheersToComics.com. So I'll leave you with that. Remember, I command that you stay safe and read responsibly. Cheers, fuckers.
Hi, you're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.
This is Mark Russell, and you're listening to the Cheers to Comics podcast.
Hey, everyone, I'm Monty Michael Moore, and this is the Cheers to Comics podcast with Brian Wayne.
This is Drew Zucker. You're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.